Welcome. I know we're recording now, aren't we? Yeah. All right. So, thank you for coming. Whoever you guys are, visitors today. Yes. Hello. I'm just gonna welcome Holy Spirit into our time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for this space. Thank you, Lord, for this building and this day. We praise you and we worship you. We extol you. We magnify you. We bring glory to your name, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and raise the sound that is within us and use the instruments that is our voices this morning. We don't even have to have the piano and the drums. We could just lift a sound right now. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We give you a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift our voices to you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? One thing I seek, one thing I ask, is that I can dwell in the temple of the Lord God Almighty and seek the beauty of his face. So we seek that beauty this morning.
Thank you for your words as we are starting out this new year. And Father, thank you that you are the God who speaks to us, and we are your sheep, and you're training us. We are training to hear your words. And thank you. We have Franklin. We're just going to show this video because he is a voice in Catch the Fire, and he wants to present what he's been hearing for this new year. So let's. Yes.
He'll be here March 10th through the 17th. We don't have times or dates yet within that time period. But he'll be here, so watch out for announcements with that.
Well, a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. Hey, I'm Franklin from Forerunner Ministries. And every year about this time, we share a prophetic word that we feel the Lord is saying for the upcoming year. And so I want to dive into our word for 25 with you right now and then share a few thoughts with you. So here's what the Lord has said to me for this upcoming year. So I saw chess pieces on a chessboard, and they were being moved in quick succession. And I heard the Lord say, even in the span of a week, you will see darkness turn to light, light to darkness, and back again. The prophets and intercessors will need to look past the potholes and keep focused on the destination. They need to do this by having a heavenly mindset and not an earthly one. 2025 is a year when the Lord is assigning heavenly assignments in the spiritual realm. You must stick to your assignment with laser precision. With the increase of political activity, there will be a significant increase in spiritual activity. Intercession needs to go from a weekly activity to a daily activity. And a different type of equipping is needed for the body. How to steer your ship in choppy waters? What type of keel do you need? And how to set your sails? The basic principles of faith will become exponentially important. Your mindset will determine if your mental health will soar or sink. I saw churches with billboards advertising mental health shelters. Come in from the cold, but for mindsets and mental health relief. And the Lord said, choose to be a light. What you have stored up in your heart will be revealed. Be a warehouse of compassion, mercy, and goodness. Choose this. Choose light. Make a decision that goodness and mercy do follow you all the days of your life. Victory comes from a godly mindset focused on the basic principles of Christ, combined with careful stewarding of what you store in your heart. Do not store self-sabotaging beliefs. Wow, okay. So this is what the Lord has said to me for 2025. Lots to think about, lots to consider, but let's just look at this first piece about chess pieces being moved around the board. And you know, I think this is really going to be the defining point on global politics, national politics. There's going to be quick succession, lots of changes and activity happening. And so, you know, we're going to take this word here very seriously at Forerunner Ministries. And this is why actually we've got a number of things coming up in the ministry that I really wanted to emphasize and let you be aware of these. So the first thing is actually starting January 16th, we are actually going to be launching two courses, one after the other, and these are going to be spiritual readiness for 2025. As you can see from this word, lots of changes, things affecting people's mental health. And you heard that line, choose to be a light. Wow. You know, in these times where the chess pieces are being moved around the board, times of change and shift is an incredible opportunity for the church. And you know, this word about choosing to be a light, this is so important. You know, and about what we hold in our heart, what our mindsets are, how we're stewarding these things. This is the opportunity that we have, that the church offers something that the daily news does not, and that is hope in Christ. And our mindsets and how we steward the basic principles of Christ in this time, this is what allows us to.
That's so good. And, you know, we as the church here, Catch the Fire, Myrtle Beach, are receiving encouragement through all that Franklin is releasing. And I just want to give you an invitation once a month on a Saturday, and it is recorded. So if you can't make it at that time, you can see it afterwards. He has an intercession training. And so he talks. It's not necessarily that you're interceding at that point, but he just pours out his heart in that time. And so if you would like some information, I have them here. Just come and get one. But those are the dates, and we've had a few of us come and join in with those, but there's a Zoom link, and that's just freely available. And so that's really good. Do you want us to carry on with the... Okay. So we have lots. I just want to invite if anyone has a testimony, because God's doing something so fresh and new. He's continuing what he's done before, but he's taking us to a new level. And so I'm going to start with the testimony, is that, you know, he's been asking me to be very intentional about spending time with him. And that was something that had to be really worked into the schedule and protected. And so when we want to be healthy, it's not automatic. We have to be intentional. And so I feel like sometimes it takes a little while for it to sort of get into the groove. Sometimes we can just start and it's like, okay, I don't really know how valuable this is. But when it's something that he's asked us to do, so for me personally, that was what he was asking me to do. I've had such a sense of this is so valuable, I have to protect it. And I'm seeing a sense of just fruit from that. Roger joined in the other day. So that was really encouraging, because I feel like this is a place that has been assigned as a place that he comes to meet us. And so when we come and spend time here, we're saying, I want to come to your home. He meets us wherever. But there's something about coming here and meeting with him and just saying, I just want your agenda. I don't want mine. I'm just here, I just lay down. And he just does something unique each time. It could be that you just end up soaking, it could be that you walk around praying, but he is doing something each time, and we want to tune into that.
The Lord has been raising me up as a son here, and I've had the privilege of being pastored by Mark and Jane and being friends with all of you. So I just want to express my thankfulness for this body and for this church family. And what the Lord has been stirring up in me is that heart of worship that David had, that playfulness that David had, that vision that David had. And so, and if any of you know, I've been advertising Tent of David for about maybe a month now, I think. And the first meeting will be this Friday. We're not doing announcements, but here's an announcement. An announcement. Tent of David this Friday at 7 p.m. We're going to be flowing in creative praise, worship, and prophecy and intercession. It's going to be a fun time. Invite anybody and everybody you can, because what the vision is this is a place of open access to the presence of God. This is a place of each one has. So we believe that the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of you a voice and each and every one of you a place to express your worship and express what God is doing in you, and for encounters to happen here as well.
Does anyone else have a testimony of what God's doing? Come. Lynn. Yes. So Lynn is Holly's friend, so that gives us a nice connection. I'm going to hold on to it.
All right, good.
This past week, I received a phone call from a good friend, and what she said really convicted me, because in my heart I knew all along the TV ministries that I was relying on to give me wisdom and entertainment, like wait till the end of the day, sit there and sort of be numb and mindless, and I felt like it was edifying, but really in my heart I knew something wasn't right. And when my friend called me, it was like almost a relief, because I got called out. I was like, yeah, I thought so. And so the Lord has me turning over. I don't do New Year's resolutions, but he has me turning over a great big new leaf. It's not a little one, it's big, because it involves finances and nurturing friendships that are worthwhile, and letting go of people-pleasing and living life for an audience of one.
Father, thank you for Lynn. Thank you for what you're showing her, and as you are calling her on the path that's a narrow path of just walking with you in intimacy. We bless that. We bless the intimacy of hearing your voice and knowing what you're saying uniquely to Lynn. And Father, that you would go so deep with the roots, and that you would bring so much fruit that is uniquely apportioned for you to release. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Anyone else? Go on then. This is so important when we get to hear our hearts, because this is our together time. And it's just as we put a window on our hearts, we get encouraged. We see what God's doing in each other, and that inspires us. So what's he doing in you?
I bear such strong witness with what has been shared about the chess pieces moving rapidly on the board between evil and God, and in the world stage, in the geopolitical realm. And I've been praying for Trump hard every day, and you talk about resistance from It's like a brass ceiling some days, and it finally lets me break through. But I bear witness so strong to that. And everything else Linda said and you said.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, we definitely want to be praying for our leaders, and this is, you know, a tricky time. And so let's just do that. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we want to pray for our country. We want to pray for openness to your heart. Father, we pray for openness to your heart, and we pray for young people, we pray for older people, we pray for young children. We pray for the window of the heart when it's really, really open to for you to speak into their lives. And so, Father, let us be a place where children can hear the good news, but we and walk in it and be transformed and so filled with you. And Father, we pray for this country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our leaders in the schools. We pray for our armed forces. We pray for the police and the fire guys and the ambulance, EMS. We pray for local government. Father, we ask for a refreshing. And Father, that you would speak to each one of us in the night. Give us direction. Give us godly input and godly wisdom in Jesus' name. We have time for another testimony. Our bodies love to move, and Sherry is telling her body, keep moving because I have so many adventures still to do, God adventures. Amen.
Well, when the unexpected happens, you have to deal with it. So this was unexpected.
Broke her leg.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like this too shall pass. I just have to trust the Lord that this, what Satan meant for bad, will turn to good. And you know, like before Christmas, I was making testimonies about how I got this Christmas bonus at work for the first time ever. My brother sent me a lot of money. I was like, oh, yes, I can do this, that. Well, it's what I'm living on now. So the Lord gave me money in advance because I couldn't work. So the bills are getting paid because God knows what's going to happen before we do. So I've been able to pay my bills with money that was given to me. And so I just thank the Lord every day because every day I get stronger. And next week I'll probably be on a cane. And so anyway, and I will dance again. And so I just thank the Lord that whatever Satan meant for bad, he's going to make it even better. So
you are a testament to your family and to your church family. Can we all just reach our hands out to Sherry? We pray continued strength and Father, any assignment that the enemy brought against you, Sherry, we cut that off now in Jesus' name. And we say no to the enemy tactics. And we say yes to you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of healing. And we release continued release of your healing and restoration to the femur to restore. And for all the muscles to work well.
He was riding. We gave him a ride.
Let's all stand.
And I don't know if this is just for me, but I keep getting the picture, like the Lord's just been dealing with me about giving myself wholly to him and letting go of anything that prevents that. And so he just gave me the picture of a tornado. And he's like, don't be afraid to just get caught up in him and let him have our whole self. It looks kind of scary, but his love isn't always gentle. Sometimes it's fierce. And so letting that fierceness overtake us and just be willing to just give it all up for him.
It's almost like a, if you've ever had like a taller, bigger guy give you a hug, like a big bear hug, and it almost seems like he's going to squish you, but it's all love. It's all your protection. And I remember there was a spiritual father I had back in Alaska, and I didn't get too close with him, but when he would hug me, it was intimidating because of how big he was. But when I let myself go, I just let the love in.
I'm going to invite Holly up now.
Yes.
Holly's going to speak.
You want to do announcements first? Or announcements afterwards?
You can do them now.
Okay. Sorry, Holly. Just real quick. So Tent of David, like I said, was this Friday at 7. It's going to be a time of creative praise and worship, an intercession, and it's going to be great. It's going to be good. And then we have Franklin and Amy. What's their last name? Spence, on the week of March 10th and through the 17th. We don't have any dates or times yet, but within that time, we're going to have maybe a meeting. I just don't know about that yet. And then we have the parenting course with Shannon Smith, the 31st of January, from 6:30 till whenever, 8:30 or something. And then the following morning from, I forget the times, 9 to 4. And then so that you can register online for that. And then we have the wonderful, wonderful Sisters Closet, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's always a good time for our church to reach the community. So those are just some things to look forward to. And now I pass the baton
to
Holly Robertson.
Good morning, everyone. Ooh. Good? Okay. Welcome, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mark and Jane, for allowing me to speak this morning on justice in the kingdom of God. And first I want to say that the world's view of justice is not God's view of justice, which whenever he told me that this past Thursday, it hit me like a double-decker bus, right? And I'm going to start in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. With the story or the parable that Jesus gave about the unforgiving servant. So the servant owed a lot of money to his master, and when the master called him out on it and he didn't have the money to give him, he could never pay it back, the master ended up showing mercy on him and let him go. And that servant went to his fellow servant, demanding the money that was owed to him. And his fellow servant couldn't pay it, and so he had him thrown in jail. When the master heard of this, he became enraged because he had shown his servant mercy. So why didn't the servant show his fellow servant, you know, mercy just like he was shown? And so the master ended up handing him over to the jailers and being tortured. And the testimony that I'm going to give this morning, I also received on Thursday evening during worship practice. And Carol, I was sitting, I believe, right where you are. And Father God had told me what he wanted me to talk about this morning. I didn't want to. I didn't feel that I was ready, even though I had already forgiven this person for what they did. I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted just to move on, forget, I'm done. And this person, whenever I was younger, took advantage of me. And it was a man that I was supposed to be able to trust. And it made me angry. And I wished horrible, horrible, horrible things on him. So much so that I didn't want him to be on this earth anymore. And in my thinking, it was rightfully so, right? But the I'm so grateful for God and how he sees sin. It's not skyline like we see it, right? It's a lie. It's the same as murder, as the same as, you know, just terrible things, right? All the terrible, sinful things that you could think of. And so it brings me to talk about Lot's wife and how she lived in Sodom. That was her home. She was used to that. That was her normal. And God wanted to bring Lot and his family out of that. But she didn't want to go. And he told her, don't look back. That is no longer your home. And she disobeyed and became a pillar of salt. And so after what had happened to me, my mom and I ended up moving down to South Carolina. But I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back. Even though that terrible thing had happened, my life was never the same, and I was broken by what happened to me, I still wanted to go back because that was my home. That was my comfort. And God said, no, you're not going back there. That is no longer your home. And I was angry with God for a long time. I was angry with him for allowing that to happen, allowing a man that I was supposed to trust do that to me. And so I had hardened my heart towards him for a really long time. I wanted nothing to do with God. If you were going to allow that to happen to me, how can I trust you, God? How can I trust you to bring justice to my life for what happened? And so whenever I was sitting there on Thursday night, I said, what is the point of me giving my testimony this morning? He said, you need to see the other side of it, because the greatest form of justice is forgiveness. And that just washed all over me. Because when you forgive the person that offended you, they don't hold you anymore. They can't hurt you. They can't touch you, right? And so because that happened, I had to learn that my identity was not in the brokenness. It was not in the anger, in the resentment, and the shame that I felt. Because I was ashamed. How could I let this happen to me? Not only, you know, angry for believing that God allowed it to happen, but so much stemmed off of that. And believing that I was someone that I wasn't, and finding comfort that was never supposed to be my identity. And so I do want to talk about also the story of the Good Samaritan and how he was injured, left on the side of the road for dead. And, you know, all of these guys passing by, you know, that should have helped him, but never did. You know, I had went to therapy. I had went to 12-step groups. I had done all of this stuff, you know, begging God, let me let this go. It wasn't time. And it wasn't until that last Good Samaritan showed up and picked him up, took him to a hotel, and cared for him. God sent him to him because he knew that he wasn't done. That was not the end of his story. Just like I believe that the life that I was living wasn't the end of my story. He let me wake up today, y'all. So he's not done with me, which I'm grateful. And so I choose to forgive the man that took advantage of me. I choose to forgive God for letting it happen, but also I ask God for forgiveness in holding him accountable for what happened, because that is how forgiveness works. It's threefold, right? So you forgive the person that offends you. You forgive yourself, maybe fourfold. Then you forgive God, but also ask God for forgiveness for being angry with him and holding him accountable for something that, you know, wasn't his fault. And so God's justice wasn't going to leave me where I was. And for that, I'm grateful. I truly am. So I want to ask you this morning, who in your life have you held an offense against and not given over to God and let him be your justice? Let him have justice for you. And do you trust Father to get you justice? Because that was my biggest problem. I didn't trust God. That's one of the scariest things to say, you know, not trusting the Father. I do more now, and it's something daily that I'm working on, to trust that he has my life in his hands. So also I want you to ask, Father, where in my life can I trust you more to bring me justice? I want you guys to sit with that for a moment.
Thank you, Holly, for leading us to this place. Before Thursday, how was it for you? Was it something that was easy for you to release forgiveness?
No, it wasn't. It was actually really hard because I thought I'd already dealt with it. And whenever you feel like you've already dealt with something, you kind of, I don't want to say disassociate, but, you know, you throw it away. Like, it's not a problem. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. And now I feel free. I do. I feel this amazing freedom.
And that's what's so amazing for this timing, because that was just last Thursday. Holly knew that she needed to speak. But this was something that the Lord put in front of her, mm-hmm. and you had to work through that. That's really like a big mountain to climb, but once you're over the other side, it's like, oh, that's done, that's good.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if any of you are really struggling with something that you're holding on to, that whole forgiveness thing, it seems like so big, but it's a simple but very hard thing to do. But as we forgive, we get the freedom. So we're going to take communion, and I want to give an opportunity for people to receive prayer as well. So we'll have different people for some of our prayer team at the front too, so that as you come with communion and you take communion, and then you can come and receive prayer with someone who can just agree with you. It's not going to be a long prayer, but just to agree with you for to be the midwife as you want to forgive somebody, because we don't want to stay the prisoners. Mm-mm. So I'm going to have Ira and Carol, do you want to lead the communion? So as we take communion, this is stepping into a freedom that has been bought for us as Jesus gave his life. And so Jesus gave his life, his body, and his blood. And so these, through the sacrifice of Jesus, through this moment as we step in and say, I receive, we can actually make a transaction of, I'm giving you everything, I'm putting it into what you already carried on the cross. So I'm just naming things and then allowing him to set us free. So I'm going to invite you to come forward. Father, thank you for you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. And Jesus, this morning, as we take the bread and the wine, we are saying you are the doorway into fullness of life. It's not meager, it's fullness. And we don't want to be satisfied with just thinking this is it. I just want to tell you, this is not it. There's so much more. And as he speaks to us today, he is inviting us into more. So I'm going to be ready to pray for people too. And Holly, and come on forward. Thank you.